Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 190, episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist. Yeah! It's a production of iHeart Radio. This is a podcast. That was so violent. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday, June 25th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, aka Now This Looks Like a Pod for Me. Hey, everybody. I'm Jack O.B., gonna talk a little controversy, because it feels so good on TDZ. That's courtesy of Rob Cunningham, for me, the Eminem of the podcast game, you know? And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Get him up! Boop, 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 boop. I got a sore throat, should've got that vax when I was 18. Apologize if I spread diseases that you can't clean. Like, what's up with this Delta strain? We could all fuck our lungs, believe me. And what's up with these doctors? Don't they know I have immunity?
That was just a little Drake off the top. Just made that up on the way in. So I was just like, how can I just get
you
I'm on one?
Up?
Yeah, so there it is. That's from me to you, the listener. Hello. Mm.
You collaborate well with Drake.
Yeah. Just two sensitive light-skinned dudes.
There you go. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by the very talented artist, filmmaker, poet, and podcast host who you know from the very great podcast Ethnically Ambiguous on this network. Her first collection of poetry is called Dime Piece, and her films have been shown everywhere from the Vail Film Festival to something called the MAMA?
MoMA.
MoMA. The MoMA. Oh. Okay. And that's some sort of...
But this is a very big bio. This is the biggest bio you've ever done. You don't have to read all of that.
I read. This is all from top of my dome.
We can read.
We are thrilled to be joined by the brilliant and talented Shireen Lonnie Yunus!
I apologize in advance for this.
Nah, no apologies necessary. Go. Go on.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck.
Bring Shireen to life.
Wake me up!
Wake me up inside! I can't wake up! Call my phone and I won't answer. It's on silent. I can't get out of bed. So leave me there instead. Save me from the blob that I've become. Bring Shireen.
Wow. I'm done. I'm done.
Wow. Woo. Amy Lee fucking quit. We got Shireen in the building.
I just needed the background because the song, you just know exactly what song it is. Just hearing like 2 seconds of it. You know?
That intro. Just whenever I hear the build up to that chorus, it reminds me of like bad magicians who I've seen use that, or like, or in comedies, you've seen people deploy that song so perfectly. But yeah, that, there's so much tension in that instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a big Evanescence fan, or just a fan of that?
So I heard that song on the radio like a week ago. It's been stuck in my head ever since. And I mean, like growing up, it was definitely cool, you know, like during that like gothy phase. I mean, not everyone went through
Christian goth phase.
But is it Christian?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I had no idea. I regret this entire thing.
I was like, did she? Wow, okay. She's down with his message, it sounds
Wait,
like.
Wait, are you serious? Yeah. I really had no idea. So is it about Jesus? The bring me to life? Is she talking like she's Jesus?
Yeah.
Wake me up inside.
Are you fucking with me?
Wake me up.
No, they met at a Christian youth camp, like the people who were in the band. Yeah.
They're so lame.
It's like goth Christian.
They're fucking dorks. Okay, never mind.
I think the most high profile troll I ever got was from, I think, the bassist, maybe the guitarist from Evanescence, who left the band because they weren't Christian enough and like talked shit about me and said in some respect. I don't even remember the context.
I just thought they were cool ass like goth people that loved like blue toed music videos, but now they're just fucking dorks. They're dorks.
Hey, look, they're just spreading his word, you know?
Dorks for the Lord, Shireen.
Yeah. I thought they were just like all their lyrics were like emo, bring me to life, save me from the nothing I've become. Like, okay, you're really depressed, but now it's all different. It's skewed. I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. That's how they indoctrinate us, you know, with their goth Christian new metal.
Wait, so you just went right to talking about Evanescence and not about my song?
Yeah, the performance, Miles. Talk about performance. Yeah.
That's what I told. I said Amy Lee needs to quit.
Oh, right. You
that was the
say
first
that.
Thing I said. I said, fuck Amy Lee.
I need validation all the time.
You got validation. and the funny thing is, you don't need it because everybody heard it. You know what I mean? It's apparent.
I just love that first, wake me up. Like, when you're driving and you hear that, you're like, okay. Yeah.
See? Well, you know what? They're trying to wake you up. So maybe you go back to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's working. It's in my head all the time.
I can't wake up. Wake me up. Yeah. I mean, oof. Please, Christ, help me.
Mm.
I'm spending too much money at Hot Topic.
There was something I really related to. I think it was either a tweet or something, whatever. It's just something in the ether. But it was like, I want to go back to lockdown because I've spent more money in the last 3 weeks than I spent in all of 2020. And that's how I feel, right?
Like, you mean like just going out there? You're just
going out there, cash being flying like out your more, pocket? Yeah, I feel that way. Like, I've been to, like, one, like, outdoor, like, you know, Edendale, and this is so stupid. Yeah. Like, it's an outdoor thing, and I spent so much money. It was, like, the first time I had been to a restaurant, I was like, okay, let's go. I don't know. I just don't like how
buying everyone, like, meals. You're like, hey, yeah, send them a whole chicken over there.
Cocktails
I love their
on
energy.
Me. Yeah,
whatever. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of the stories we're talking about. Joe Biden's plan to curb gun violence with cops. More cops. Britney Spears basically confirmed everything the Free Britney movement has suspected in a 20-minute court appearance, up to and including that she was spelling out help in her eyelashes in those Instagram photos. No, that's not true. But basically everything else.
I believe anything.
I did too. I was like, no, I felt like everyone.
I mean, she
had
does have very cryptic Instagram. Like, I would not put it past her, you know.
No, for sure. I'm open to anything at this point. The Free Britney movement was right about so much that I'm going to listen to them when they start endorsing political candidates.
Yeah.
Hold on. You never know what might happen with that.
They've linked with Q, and together they're an unstoppable political force. Speaking of Q, we're going to talk about just the growing kind of some trends of violence and extremism we're seeing on the right. We're also going to talk about Republicans' attempt to grapple with climate change, that live-action Snow White remake, this new Jerry Seinfeld movie about the making of Pop-Tarts for some reason. All of that, plenty more. But first, Shireen, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Well, believe it or not, my most recent search history is Bring Me to Life instrumental.
So there you go.
It's just right there. So, yep. I'm not even. And then a little bit down from that is Bring Me to Life lyrics, Evanescence, because I wanted to make sure I was getting the beats right. And I still fucked it up, but whatever. Don't come at me.
I thought you nailed it.
Oh, thank you so much, Jack.
Like Jesus was nailed to the cross.
For our sins. And we brought him back to life after 3 days. Did you get into, have you gotten into any of their other like work?
That's literally the only song I know by them.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I wanted
fine.
To stay
that's
that
fair.
Way.
Mm. Yeah. That's yeah. fine.
I Why think you should check out His Blood Will Redeem You.
Oh, no. That's not real.
That's, that's not. I'm just making that up.
Yeah. Or were you there when they raised him from the
dead? Yeah.
Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Yeah, she kills it. She really
I guess, I mean, for being a Christian thing that I just learned about 15 minutes ago, the fact that they were so popular is kind of impressive, you know? Like, and they yeah. it was kind of like, because I didn't know. I'm sure a lot of people don't know, because if I don't know, there must be someone out there that didn't know either. But like, that's pretty, what's the word? Like insidious or like kind of sneaky? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, well, actually, you know what? That's funny. Now that I read about it, there was a controversy. Okay, so maybe we jumped ahead, and I'm sure Evanescence fans have been screaming at their ear pods since they've been listening to this. Okay, so here there was some controversy around the Bring Me to Life track, because at a certain point, a lot of Christian stores are like elevating them. You're like, yeah, mm-hmm. man, like this is a great band of some, you know, other believers. And they said they did not want to be considered part of it. They did say that, despite the spiritual underpinning that ignited interest and excitement in the Christian religious community, Evanescence are a secular band and as such view their music as entertainment. So just because they're Christian or whatever and they subscribe to his word, that's not what they're espousing in their lyrics.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I love that we've just been talking about Evanescence.
Evanescence. Well, yeah. when you see a live music performance like we all just witnessed, it's hard
Never
to think
again.
About anything else.
And so this pissed off so many Christian DJs that they were like blacklisted immediately
Whoa.
When this came out. So in a way, you will not hear Bring Me Back to Life or anything on the radio. They said, one of the people said, one of these distributors of Christian music said, quote, they clearly understood the album would be sold in these Christian music on these stores, and sort of just being upset. So
more like devil in essence.
I mean, I guess that's Ooh. Pretty punk. I don't know.
Yeah, very
blacklisted.
Very cool.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
then she like did like the Korn Unplugged with John from like the dude from Korn is now Christian.
Are
so, you
a huge Evanescence fan? That's what
No,
I'm
I just
gather.
Did a lot of pills in the early aughts. And so this was like vibey music you could play in the background while forgetting your own emotional trauma.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But yeah, that was
Can you hit me up with those pills when you can?
Yeah, yeah, they don't sell them anymore, apparently.
Okay.
Yeah. But I can send you a really cool Korn Unplugged DVD where Amy
yeah,
Lee from
pass.
Evanescence comes out to sing Freak on Leash.
Pass.
That and three Monster Energy drinks and you're basically on drugs.
Yeah.
You combine those together.
Yeah, a Korn Unplugged DVD and three Monster Energy drinks straight to the dome piece. You got yourself a party.
Shireen, what is something you think is overrated?
Well, did I bring this up already? No, I don't think I did. I think no longer wearing masks is overrated.
Yeah.
Especially with this new variant. Like, it's Dr. Fauci was saying that, like, it's the biggest threat to America containing the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
My friend came in from New York and, like, my other friend and I were going to go see him. He was at this bar called Footsie's. And I was just expecting it to be, like, I don't know, not crazy, but it was literal sardines. Like, anywhere you went, you were bumping into someone, your butt was getting touched, like they were dancing and panting, and I was like, this, no, I need Whoa. To leave. And no one was wearing masks, and it's like, I understand. I mean, I just want people to realize that having the vaccine doesn't mean you're fucking immune. I know someone that got the vaccine and has COVID, and even though it's minor, the alarming thing is that he could spread it to someone that could affect them more harmfully, like an elderly person or something. So I don't know. I just think I'm going to still wear my mask, especially in enclosed like public spaces. And unless I know the person and people I'm with are vaccinated, I think that's when I feel comfortable taking it off. But I'm just like not, I don't understand the full 180 people have done. And
it's
even more than 180 because they're going even harder than before because they just like can't believe they're outside. You know what I mean?
They're like, I'm making out with strangers just on the street. I'll
That's
walk
what it felt like in this bar slash like dance area. And I was just like, chill. Like, I don't.
I mean, it's called footsies, though. You know, it's, you know, some hanky panky.
Sorry. What did you expect from footsies? You
know, fair.
You didn't go to chastity belts. Yeah, you know, touche. Or something like that, which is actually just a really grim bar you don't want to go to. But I would say, I think it's like, you know, honestly, by design, this is part of this push of business owners and the media, everything to create this semblance that everything is over. Mm-hmm. Because you can tell a lot of people are having real sort of existential dilemmas about what their lives are post-pandemic, mid-pandemic, like what they value and things like that. And all of this is like, yeah, don't worry, man. Come on in. The bars are open. Let's get back to the slog. Don't fucking think too much about, you know, like the health insurance you might want to advocate for on behalf of you and other people. Like, let's get back to that thing where the crunch forced everybody to not think about anything. And yeah, I think a lot of people, while I get why you know, if the city and the state is saying like, hey, man, we're good. Like, you know, the numbers are low. We can lift things. It just still feels feels very quick. And again, especially with the variant that's going around, we're already seeing like a version like in Israel where they're very aggressively vaccinated. The Delta variant is coming up in pockets, not like in absurd numbers, but the pockets are popping up in schools because the kids are not vaccinated.
And that spreads so easily that way, you know?
Yeah.
I think the mentality that bothers me the most is I was working on a set leading up to the day that everything opened up. And literally, like, everyone on set was just, like, counting down the days where they can go outside without a mask. Like, I just, like, it was as if, like, they were getting freed from prison. I'm just, like, what do you, like, how has your life really changed by just covering up your face? If anything, I would rather go around, like, not recognizable and have my space and not be approachable. Right. But that mentality of being like, oh my God, it's almost here. I can finally get my mask off. I don't understand that.
I mean,
anything.
I bet you do like on a very human level, right? Like the desire to sort of feel like you're not in danger anymore. Not necessarily like specifically you don't want to wear a mask. And like, I understand that sort of base level of like, God, I've been like, things have been so different. I want this feeling where it's a little bit, I can just be a little more carefree.
Actually, no, that's a good point. Actually, producer Anna and I went to a really nice like housewarming party for Matt Lieb and Francesca Fiorentini.
Yeah.
And no one was wearing masks. They were all vaccinated. And I really forgot we were like in a pandemic. And that was nice. Like I do appreciate that feeling of being like, oh, wow, here we are again.
Yeah. But like, get this thing off of me. Energy is a little
But no,
bit
that,
like,
that wasn't my mentality. It was just oh, I feel comfortable here. I think the mentality of like, I'm finally free is what bothers me, I guess. Like, I feel it maybe deep down, but it's not my main emotion when it comes to this. And I just think we still need to be really cautious instead of assuming that like, oh, I'm vaccinated, I'm good, I can be at this crowded place. And on the other hand, I don't fucking trust that everyone who's unmasked is vaccinated. There's no way I trust that. So,
absolutely. I mean, demographically speaking, maybe 50%.
Exactly.
Right. If you really look at the numbers. So even like, if you're there, you're like, I mean, you can damn sure almost guarantee that a good chunk of these people are not vaccinated.
Exactly.
You think the people who are like refusing to wear a mask in grocery stores during the pandemic went and got vaccinated? Like they're
know it was absolutely not. So those people are just wandering around maskless still. And again, like probably 50%, if not like more, in my opinion, depending on where you live.
Right.
Yeah.
Are not vaccinated. And so I think it boils down to me just having trust issues. Like, I don't trust anyone around me to be responsible. Thanks. So I'll be responsible.
I think that's completely valid. Like, I was talking to a movie theater here in Pittsburgh recently, and they were like,
to the theater?
Yeah. You know, just chatting it
outside
up.
Outside, talking to the wall.
Be like, so you seen anything good lately?
Like, sir.
No, I was thinking about taking my kids to a movie for the first time since the beginning of the pandemic. And the guy was like, well, we do require masks if you haven't been vaccinated. But I was like, oh, okay. And do we need to like bring our vaccination cards? Or he was like, oh, no, we don't yeah, require exactly. that.
So even though it's enforced,
yeah,
it's right. like the honor system, like, fuck you. Like, that doesn't exist to me. Like, I don't
well,
know.
Well, not in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated, Shereen?
Well, kind of along the same lines, as people are going out again and socializing, I think it's underrated to not talk. I think what I mean by that is I feel like because everyone's out, they're just like chumming it up and asking all these questions like, oh, have you been? Like, what's up? And we all know the answer to that. Right. Nothing. Just like you. Like, I've been doing absolutely nothing.
I'm
maybe
a nervous
you
wreck being out for the first yeah. time, actually, if you want to ask.
Exactly. So I think a better alternative is just like kind of embracing like a silence every once in a while. I think that's far more like bonding and connecting to be like, we're outside. Let's just enjoy. Like, I don't know. Does that make sense? I just think I
yeah,
really
absolutely.
Despise the small talk. And I would rather yeah. you shut up, and I would rather shut up too than giving you like recycled answers.
And I sure. think, yeah, I think the small talk people need new questions to mm-hmm. ask each other
yeah.
because, like, what have you been up to is not a good question to
no.
ask.
Therapy processing my grief from the last year.
Like, what's yeah. the weirdest shit you got into during
yeah,
the pandemic?
Yeah, that's a good question, I guess. Yeah. I think, how are you? And at this point, to me, is a crime to ask that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm bad. I've been yeah. bad.
What was the worst eating habit that you developed during
oh,
the
you know, be
pandemic?
Dope? Like a pandemic skill party, show and tell,
oh.
talent show. Like, you
right.
know what I mean? All the freaky shit that you're up to. You're like,
yeah.
I don't know. I learned how to make this one piece of bread. You're like, okay, bring that.
I perfected my back bend, you know? Like,
exactly.
that's something. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Have a little stage set up. And be like,
yeah.
and up next, with her skill, Shereen, Lonnie, Yunez. And
yes.
the cart opens.
And then
like,
I... And then I sing Evanescence. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Wake me up inside.
They're like, oh shit, she's killing
but,
me.
Right.
But yeah, like I would rather just like literally sit with someone and like look at the moon than pretend to have a conversation where we're catching up and it's just literally
well, what is
nothing.
It about the catching up that you think is is that because inevitably you're going to have
recycled.
To talk about.
It just
right.
feels
or
recycled. Or
you
I
have
mean,
to
like,
get real.
Yeah, exactly. It's either...
Right?
I guess the surface level stuff is what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah.
if you're at an event and there are people that are more acquaintances to you and there's like only the surface level conversation that's possible, unless they really want to go deep. I'm always down to like overshare. I have no filter, but
that's
on the other
shirt
side,
to have,
yeah.
down to overshare.
But I think with friends, obviously, it's easy to go deeper. Like maybe you've been keeping in touch with them over the year,
yeah.
you know, like that's easy. I guess I'm talking about now that you're at these, like, maybe house parties or whatever, like, park hangs, and there's acquaintances around you, just, like, just shut up. Don't act, like, just, you don't have to try. You know?
You're like, I don't know you like that, okay?
Yeah.
So we can either go deep with this or just shut the fuck up and look at this moon with me.
Yeah, exactly. I would rather, like, honestly, if someone, an acquaintance, just looked at the moon with me, I'd be like, we're best friends now, you know, instead
yeah.
of being like, how are you? Like,
I think
you know
that's
I mean?
The true underrated, just sitting and looking at the moon with
did you
Shereen.
See yesterday? It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was like foggy out here, but like full bright ass moon. It was really
mm-hmm.
cool.
Yeah, it was something else.
Yeah,
the
that's,
moon
again,
is underrated.
I've tried to, yeah, it's all incremental, you know, in terms of getting back to like that stuff. Or on the other hand, it's almost like you just want for me, and I was talking about this last week when Jody Avergan was on, about sort of talking more about like there's so much unspoken fucked up shit everybody went through that
mm-hmm.
on some level I just feel like that's what we're avoiding talking about,
right?
You know, and
yeah.
I just want to be like, I know, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's
right.
almost like that's what I'm like, are you
yeah.
okay, or are you still kind of fucked up from all this? And
right.
if they're like, yo, I'm still kind of fucked up,
yeah.
I'm like, yo, I don't know, you're, okay, let's bring it in.
Exactly.
Okay. And I'll talk
exactly.
to you later, but I'm just checking where, okay, that's fine. I don't need to know, don't lie to me about it. I'm like, oh my God, it's been great.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I don't know about anyone else, maybe I'm just very, like, I wear my emotions on my sleeve, but there are moments, like, a very mundane thing will happen, and I feel like I'm going to cry. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
it's just,
yeah.
you're outside, and someone's just like, being nice to you, and you're like,
oh,
I don't
man.
Know.
I yeah. well up at the smallest things these days, I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah, that's why I like that. Sha'Carri Richardson, the 100-meter sprinter who just smoked the qualifying to go to Tokyo, and then, like, her post-race, like, the whole thing, I was just ruined with emotion. Like, oh, my God, she's living her dream. And she's going through so much this last year, and she's still overcoming. Like,
shit is easy to cry. reach out to us with some suggestions for post-pandemic icebreakers. That
the ones that you suggested are actually good, surprisingly. So you should
remember those. Wow, thanks,
Shereen.
You're
welcome.
It means a lot. all right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And okay, we had like 3 false starts getting back. But Miles, you were saying that maybe it would be better to, rather than just like having the normal
come over, eat and drink and talk
and like talk to each other,
build maybe something, like, do something with your hands. Like, can we go, you know, fucking collect driftwood and make a bonfire or some shit? Or can we do
beautiful.
A puzzle or just shit that like requires cooperation and like physical activity? I bet like whitewater rafting. Woo!
Yeah, camping. I don't know. That sounds nice to me. If you're like close with someone, not an acquaintance. But my runner-up underrated was puzzles because I love doing puzzles. And doing a puzzle with someone just sounds so much more fun to me than going to a bar. I know that's like maybe a dorky thing to say, but I love doing puzzles. Any
you
kind of puzzle.
Discover shit. Yo, have you ever done a puzzle with somebody that you don't really know that well? Like, this is like some one night stand or some shit, but like, you know, you fuck around with puzzles. And you know, when you're making a puzzle with somebody, like you can kind of get a telepathy going where you sort of begin to understand like what the fuck they might be working on over there while you're trying to hit these corners and shit. And you're like, oh, I think this is for you. And they start sliding pieces to you. And you're like, oh, shit, I don't really even know you like this.
And you're just doing, the puzzle we call life. Together, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
I'm so sorry.
Should have sent a poet.
All right, let's talk about Joe Biden, someone who I'd imagine is real into jigsaw puzzles. But
we don't claim him.
I don't think he's a puzzled person. I don't think it should reflect on you guys as people. He's puzzled. And also just, I can just picture him in a sweater by a fireplace also, working on a puzzle.
If you're going to lean into like the, you know, his senility bit, like just putting the puzzle together all fucked up. It's like, yeah, see, I nailed it. And you're like, oh shit, Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe, this is a 24 piece, man.
Yo, like, and also like the you want the printed sides to be up. You can't be mixing half of them down and this is not how this works.
He's cutting circles out to like make them fit. Yeah.
He's got give me my scissors, Jill. Yeah. What?
My X-Acto knife.
Yeah, these pieces aren't fitting. Yeah.
I mean, him just like jamming pieces together that don't fit together is a great metaphor for what we're about to talk about. Because he announced his plan for ending gun violence in America.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some community-based solutions, which great, other programs to help support the youth. And then there's just a huge chunk that is giving more money to police.
Yeah. In the official breakdown of the plan, like, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff about trying to combat recidivism and finding housing for people who were previously incarcerated and have been released. And a lot of things that people have been like, these are the kinds of issues you actually need to tackle, like when you're really talking holistically about like bringing crime down. But again, because he is definitely combating this, like people think he's, you know, or the right is going to hit him with like, he's trying to defund the police. There's a huge, huge section. Like there's things like this from the plan itself. Quote, this strategy will use the rescue plan's historic funding levels and clear guidance to help state, local, territorial and tribal governments get the money they need to put more police officers on the beat. Uh-oh. And then he goes on, this is not a time to turn our backs on law enforcement or our communities.
They even admitted that law enforcement is separate from our communities. You know, I don't know. Like, right. It should all be the same.
Or our communities.
Yeah. Huh. Or you have to pick one. So
are they diametrically opposed? Our communities and law enforcement? Yep. Because it's an either or. Okay. Interesting that you see that binary like that.
Yeah. Talking about putting officers on the beat just like makes you picture a cop who's like part of the community, who's like your neighborhood cop, who's just like walking on the beat, checking in with people at their like, who
the
are sitting on their stoop.
Neighbor. Yeah.
Right. And like that, but that's not how policing in America works. Like putting officers on the beat. Like, no. You're just picturing...
It's just, like, yeah, I'm not surprised, but it is pretty wild and, like, kind of entertaining that he's responding to cries or, like, demands to defund the police by literally funding the police more. You know, like, let's fix this police violence by adding more police, which means people that aren't trained in anything, because it's so easy to become a cop. I don't know. It's just so backwards.
Just get more people. Just get more people who didn't make the football team guns.
Yeah.
And then send them out there. Exactly. That's a good recipe. But yeah, it is. I mean, for most people who spent the time really looking, having a reckoning with what law enforcement is in this country and what it means to have, you know, real solutions to crime and poverty and things like that, this isn't it. This isn't the answer. And on some level, it's like, you don't have to defund the police, because let's be real, like, That was more of a like activist view of like sort of where we need to be headed as a society versus people just weren't getting raises. How about that? Like, it's not that people are like, oh, and I'm making 30% less now. It's like, well, maybe you have 30% less like Gundam gigantic war machines to like brutalize people with. But it's not that you're being defunded. And I feel like you could have gotten through with something like this that wasn't necessarily de-emphasizing law enforcement, but just emphasizing these community solutions.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never for once going to be like, oh, Joe Biden's going to give a single cent to law enforcement. That's just not true.
Oh, no, but yeah, totally.
It would be nice to say, like, no, we're really focused on how we solve this from the ground level up.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I just think, like, I was hoping I was never convinced that he wouldn't give money to the police, but I was just hoping that the majority of it would be allocated towards things that would actually help the community versus more cops. You know, like the last thing I thought we needed was fucking more cops. I just don't know. Right. It's just like there are so many other options to put your money towards. And I mean, you've seen all the graphs where it's like this much in police spending versus this much in education or healthcare. It's just like that needs to even out or we're fucked. Like we are fucked already.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that, and I think most people who are concerned about like this, like more cops on the beat thing, which is, more cops, it usually means more like over policing. In a minority or, you know, just low income neighborhoods. And that leads to, you know, these sort of like mass incarceration events that we've had throughout the years where it's there's just a direct line to being like, we got to get tough. We need more cops, which really means more people being arrested and imprisoned rather than helping the people in the first place from committing these, you know, crimes, which mostly are crimes of desperation.
And also, like, decriminalizing things that shouldn't be criminalized, like decriminalizing weed, like, across the whole nation, you know, or decriminalizing...
Or drugs.
Drugs in general. How useful has that been? Yeah.
And the other thing is, too, like, just even specifically for this, you know, because this plan is also talking about, like, we got to get guns off the street. You know, they're using this lens of, like, the gun violence to curb it because it, unfortunately, is a blight for people of color in this country. But he's saying we got to crack down on these rogue gun dealers and things like that. Well, a lot of people are like, that's not going well. The same thing happened in D.C. in 2019. Same program about like trying to curb like gun trafficking and things like that. Guess what? The police just selectively targeted three majority black neighborhoods in D.C. and didn't apply this program across the city. It's not. And they're going to be like, well, this is where the activity is. Like, see, and this is the logic that you guys use to sort of reinforce your biases or just out in the open, you know, hatred of people of color.
Yeah. Fuck the cops. I don't know. who just farted at that?
Me.
Oh, okay. That's
not
fair,
at I that. I was seconding it because I was farting the
oh, okay. That's yeah, my you're support, farting is... at the police. Farting at the police.
Yeah, and then that'll probably get you oh god, could you imagine? We're, oh my god. I'm sure
for
we're
you?
Closest for someone farting on a cop and they're like, Yeah, dude, they fucking threw you
if
in jail.
If Jack did
forever.
It, he'd be fine, but I can't say the same for you, my man.
He'd be like, up high, man. That was great, man.
Nice one, bro.
He would just rip another one that's bigger, you know? Like, hey, I can win.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about right-wing violence. Probably, like, there's been three stories now that we've had kind of marinating on the dock about just, like, this kind of move towards extremism on the right. So the latest one, there's a OANN segment where one of their anchors talks about how when the dust settles on what he terms as a coup that like threw Trump out of power unfairly, the only proper recourse would be to execute thousands of people. Mm-hmm. That clip is apparently going viral on like in the Q circles.
Yeah, because it's the mass executions sort of thread that they have.
Right.
Then on the other side, like in terms of making them believe that they are about to be targeted for mass executions, you have Michael Savage. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard him, like heard his show?
I mean, only in clips.
It's wild.
Yeah.
But on Newsmax, Michael Savage, who is a conservative radio host who I'd heard when I lived in Missouri, just like ambiently on the airwaves, like on mainstream radio stations, has some very violent, extreme ideas. Here he is talking about the consequences of critical race theory.
And I think it's a warning to all for this really just clear analysis.
My blood's boiling listening to Chuck Todd. I wanted to reach through the screen and smack him in the face. Does he have children? Can you imagine having a little child who goes to school and is told that he's no good, his race is no good? He's evil. His parents are evil. His nation is evil.
Yeah, actually, I have.
Exactly. Like
I have.
Describing...
I think a lot of non-white people have in this country. I'm sorry, but go on, Michael Savage.
These are the same SOBs who lectured us for 20 years about don't be a bully. Tolerate everything. And now they're beating up white children in schoolrooms. And I'm not going to mince words. You can cut me off if you have to. I know you probably agree with me. I can't take this anymore.
I hate that.
And there's
it's
only
true.
One solution to it. Sue the goddamn schools if they do it to your child for child abuse. and you will win, because that's the only way to stop this. These children are being humiliated and hurt and damaged for life by a psychotic woman who came up with this lie called critical race theory, which is nothing but racism towards white people. No other race is targeted. I could go on, and I could go on and on. I've studied history. I know where this starts. I know where it ends. It started in the same kind of thing started in Germany. The Jews were no good. The Jews did this. The Jews did that. The next thing you knew, they were being excluded from swimming pools. They didn't put them in concentration camps overnight. I study this intimately. I am Jewish. I know how this starts. Attacks on white people is exactly what was done to the Jews in Germany in the 30s.
All right, let's just stop
him
there.
There's just so much to unpack.
Also, I just from a like visual standpoint, something you miss is he goes, and you could cut me off if you want. And then they just give him the full screen. They give him the full screen. And it's like,
he says, but you probably won't because I know you agree with me kind of thing. And it's like, it's true. I can't believe that's true. But
right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think all of us who, I mean, I've studied history as well. I mean, I did when I was in college, when I was learning critical race theory and becoming a communist. I think we can all remember the genocides that have occurred that were not perpetrated by the hegemonic class in a given society. What are you talking about? Because do they understand the power dynamics involved? Because that's not how this works. You're in total denial of hegemony and the idea that what white American culture means in this country, that it's at the top, that everything else is in service to that. So how is that going to be upended in the way you're talking about, sir?
I just love that he was literally describing segregation. You know what I mean? He's like, can you imagine children not being allowed in pools and this and this being bullied? And I'm like, you did this.
This is what critical race theory is talking about, is allowing into the history of this country. And you're trying not to let that happen.
You've proven the point in that you are potentially completely unaware of what this form of racism is like. And you're just reinforcing that by coming out and just going like, can you believe this stuff? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? It's like, well, that's because you've not bothered to actually pay attention to anything. But of course, because of everyone's egos and things involved, they will not allow themselves to, you know, take a moment to think like, do I have anything? Not maybe directly, but is this a conversation I should maybe be having with myself on some level to understand how oppression works and how maybe I can help others out of it? But I don't think so. I don't think these people are about liberation or equity of any kind.
No, not at all.
It's all fear.
Yeah. And I think it's there's a real danger because this is becoming the mainstream of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
What? Just one other kind of it's more Republican on Republican, but this Republican candidate for a congressional position in the Tampa area, which is, you know, a very Republican part of Florida, was basically captured on tape threatening to send a Russian and Ukrainian hit squad to a fellow Republican opponent to make her disappear. And I just you just have to wonder, as Trump is more and more pushing the Republican Party and like endorsing these candidates who are like further and further out to the extreme, I just feel like this is the sort of thing that you're going to hear more and more of.
Not to make light of it, but this sounds like the worst kind of fake tough guy talk I've ever heard. Because what is a Russian and Ukrainian, like an international hits, like all-star hit squad? Last I recall, the two countries are in conflict, but they found a way to agree on this issue. I send my blood and Crip hit squad to your house. Right. Like, what?
That's a really good point. I didn't even realize
what that means. They're going to unite to make me what? Huh?
Yeah. I have the ability to unite these two nations. And they work for me.
Oh, wait till I send my Saudi and Israeli hit squad over to your place. And you're going to be real mad about it. Like, what? Huh? You're just naming two countries that you think are scary?
Wow. All
right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about Britney Spears.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. And so Britney Spears, we talked about how the New York Times had published a bunch of previously sealed court documents that indicated she was not thrilled with the conservatorship going back to at least 2014. So she finally had a chance to speak about the conservatorship in court, and it seems like all of the darkest suspicions of the Free Britney movement are kind of accurate. Just a couple details that jumped out. In the article, when they're talking about the conservatorship, they say, when almost full control of Britney Spears, the mother of two, was given to her father. So they're not saying control over her finances or control over her safety. It's control over her.
The mother of two.
Control over her as a person.
Yeah.
And one of the details that came out, we talked about the court documents that showed she wasn't even allowed to make a decision about painting the cupboards in her kitchen. And she was put on a $2,000 a week
allowance,
basically, while she was making millions and millions and millions of dollars for her dad. One thing that she talked about in this court hearing is that she would like to get married again and have another child, but can't because of an IUD she isn't allowed to have removed.
And it was forcibly implanted, too.
Yeah, and it was forcibly implanted.
That's so dark.
It's unbelievable. And it seems like the dynamic was basically, if she complained, for instance, there was that time when she had to go to a mental health facility. She's saying it was against her will, and it was because she like stood up for herself during a rehearsal. She was basically like, I don't I don't want to keep doing this. Right. It's like a choke collar thing where if she complained, if she pushed back, it would just like get worse, tighter. It would get like the control over her would get tighter and like more unyielding.
Yeah, I listened. I found on Instagram a video that the statement she made. It was like they had a microphone and an amp, and they somehow were amplifying it to the crowd. And she talked about how like what you were saying, Jack. They purposely would like take her to like very public places, like this place like in Westlake that is very like paparazzi know she's there or whatever, and they would take pictures of her crying and like humiliate her to like try to get her to not speak up for herself again, you know. And she, it's just so upsetting. And she said, I want my boyfriend to be able to drive me, I want to control my life. The IUD thing is so horrendous. And also just saying that like the people that control her forget like she's paying them, and she wants them to realize like they work for her, not the other way around. But if you listen to the recording, it's kind of
it's interesting and jarring.
Yeah, it's very jarring, but she sounds completely different than what she does on her Instagram. You know, like you see just how much of a front everything has to be. And it's just heartbreaking. Like 13 years is a terribly long time.
Yeah.
And
it's, you can even tell even in the way she was speaking, like it almost like in a way she had made a peace with it, because she was like, and 13 years is enough, you know, as if like, and it's like, oh my God,
it's actually 13 years too many. But
like that's 13 years fucking gone. And you are here. And again, to your point about the difference in the tone of her voice, like one is this performative. It does make you look at those Instagram posts and be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Because this is not the person who I heard in this statement the other day pleading to get their freedom and their life back. And that's, I think, you'd hope enough people actually come around on this, or at least in the, legally, that the right decisions can be made for her to be liberated. But it's just, it's like, it's also just, there's so many layers to this, from just the mental health aspects and how we use that to immediately just sort of negate someone's ability to, or perceive them as someone who has any kind of free will or ability to take care of themselves. Yeah, it's just, it's just really hard to kind of watch this all melt down as it, in real time as it is.
I mean, and like the documentary, I mean, even just like going back into like your memory of her, she was a very intelligent, like vibrant person, you know, like there was no doubt that she's like a person that could take care of herself, or at least like speak for herself. And I just think it's so sad. Like 13 years ago, she had like, and like she was responding to being controlled and being famous, essentially. And instead of being like having the choice to do it herself, like maybe go to therapy herself or like whatever, she became immediately controlled by her bullshit family. And never had a chance to, and I really do think that they have permanently altered her, whether it was the medicine that she was forced to take or something. I just think it's so tragic, because she's two different people.
Yeah.
From
I mean,
she used to be.
It's traumatic. Yeah. I mean, I can only imagine with 13 years in your, you know, gilded cage or whatever you want to call that situation. It's just like a really, I don't know what you, how, it's going to be a long road, and I just, well, I hope that road begins as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, to something you kind of referenced briefly there, Shireen, but they were making her take lithium, like, which is a really...
Lithium is so hardcore, and it, like, literally alters your brain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that, like, a bygone treatment?
It's used for bipolar sometimes. It's still prescribed for bipolar, but... Unless
or it was
bipolar,
used more widely back in the day, and people were like, yo, you don't need to go on lithium out the gate.
Back in the
this.
Day, it was used for kind of a lot of things, but now only like bipolar people should take it. And if you don't have bipolar, it can be really harmful to you, because you're not supposed to take lithium if you don't need it.
Yeah.
Oof. It's just really fucked up.
Yeah. I feel like this immediately becomes like just, I don't know. I can't wait. I can't stop reading about this, because it's just so many different issues that America has, whether it be like misogyny, this particular set of laws, like Miles, you were saying, just the way that people who have a mental health crisis in their life suddenly become like subjects that we just like dismiss as like, you know, well, there's somebody that like we now have to care for.
And, or if and they're famous, we make fun of them, which is adds to that.
Yeah. Like that was the thing from the documentary that it was like, that makes total sense that she would have had a mental health crisis at that point, like as just being treated like absolute shit, like being treated, you know, I just
it's
feel
bad
like
enough to have like a shitty time in your life. But then on top of it, be like, that's the but the world is now talking about it and the world is focused on you having your shitty time. Like that is that's something most people will never experience in their life. And
the world caused the shitty time in her life also. Like that's the thing that I was struck by in the documentary, like just being constantly berated and followed around. When she decided to actually like have kids, the world was like pissed. They were like, no, you're not. That's not supposed to be what we like. That's not what we want for you. So like, again, the world, like the media took control of, over her life. And like, we're like, this is what we want for you. So you like be this person. And then her dad basically took over her life and was like, this is what people want from you. They want like this Vegas thing. So like you lose all autonomy and it's just a nightmare.
But to your point that you made earlier, Miles, like it's if a guy went through like a public figure who is a male presenting went through something like what she went through, it would just be he would never have a conservatorship. He wouldn't be viewed as incapable of taking care of himself, you know? Like it's misogyny. It's also just I can't get over I mean, I can because it's happened in the past, but the fact that it's her father who has been with her entire life and maybe like in different ways was controlling her before this even happened. But the fact that he's like her abuser and like her, what's the word? Just like her captor, essentially. Like, I can't get over that. I just think it's so horrendous and I don't know. I just really hope it comes to a head. And like, I'm really glad she was able to speak to the judge because from what I understood and what I understand, like 2 years ago, a lot of what she said was like dismissed when she tried to bring it to court the first time. And I'm so glad that the Free Britney movement has become popular because I really do think that's a factor of why it might happen this time, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked on the when we first brought this up earlier in the week about like that whole Southern father, like the balls that they have with their daughter, where like it's all about like taking control over your daughter and your daughter's body. And it's just
she's
so
basically
fucked up.
Like an exchange, like a transaction when you when you give her to someone else, literally when they like marry off.
She's a golden goose for that family that they keep in a cage. And they're like, just keep cranking out the eggs. We don't care if you want to spread your wings or do any of this other shit. Like, you're here for one purpose.
In her court testimony, she said that her father, quote, loved the control he had over someone as powerful as me. I'm like,
wow.
I'm guessing he can exercise very little control over his own life.
Right. Yeah, it seems like he's...
you acted out vis-a-vis this other fucked
up. Right. One of the arguments that they keep making is, like... substance abuse and like that she's had intermittent challenges with substance abuse misuse and he's a like frequently relapsing alcoholic like that's he should worry about himself. Anyways, speaking of misogyny, I want to talk about the latest live action Disney remake to be announced, which is Snow White. We've seen remakes of Disney
Hasn't
classics
it already been made the Huntsman the, thing I don't know.
Right.
Oh, so is that like action or what was that?
Yeah, that was action. I don't think that was like from Disney. I think it was like based on the original like Grimm fairy tale. But this is like, so the classics that have been remade into live actions are like Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid.
Aladdin,
like all those, like they're classics, but classics from like the 80s and 90s for the most part. Jungle Book, I guess.
I haven't watched a single one. Like, I really haven't. Not even Aladdin. I don't know why.
I haven't seen one of the live action remakes.
Yeah, me either. But not a single one.
I think they're really good, you guys. That's what I wanted to talk
about.
Which
is the best one?
You do have kids.
No, actually, the only one I saw was Jungle Book, and I saw it before I had kids, so no excuse. But this
the
one,
the only one you
is...
saw was the one with Scarlett Johansson. Is what you're saying?
Is wow. she in that?
Yeah, she's like the snake.
The
or
voice
some shit.
Of the snake. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
One of our greatest voice actors.
Also very telling, of course. Anyway, sorry.
Mm-hmm. I'm a Burmese python.
So Snow White is the original Disney princess, right? It's like the first feature-length film that Walt Disney made. And it really laid down the foundation for like all sorts of really problematic sort of archetypes that Disney princesses would go on to embody. And I just wanted to talk about, like, specifically, I've rewatched Snow White for an episode of Bechdel Cast and for an episode of the Crack Show After Hours that I was writing. So I've rewatched it like probably 10 times in the last 5 years. And like, yikes. It's really a fucked up movie. Like the character Snow White is like a superhero whose power is her beauty only, to the point that the only way she fucks it up is if she like does something. And the
she's
only
conscious.
She's at her peak when she's asleep. Like that's wow. when. So her life
she's the
keeps,
most powerful.
She's the most powerful when she's asleep and people see her. But when she's awake and like doing stuff, she keeps like just fucking up over and over and over again. Wow. And then she like will fuck up to the point that she puts herself in a coma or like passes out in somebody's bed and they're about to kill her. And then she like rolls over in her sleep and they're like, wow, she's pretty.
Damn, that's completely true. I haven't thought about Snow White in a while, but yeah, that is dark as shit.
And like two times, like early on when men fall in love with her, it's like she's singing while doing chores and doesn't know that they're watching. So
fucking creeps.
Yeah. So there's like a voyeuristic element to it.
Yeah,
she's something to be looked at only. And when she's acting on her own, like here are the things that she does. Yeah, when she, you know, practices autonomy in the movie, she flees into the forest and knocks herself out. She breaks and enters into like a strange home and then falls asleep in the like septuple bed that she's like, so almost gets murdered. Then she like helps them do chores at their house and like is the best like maid that they've ever had. So like that's another one of her superpowers. And then what is clearly a witch comes to the cabin and gives like asks her to take this apple that is clearly poisoned. And she's like, okay, like just nonstop makes the worst decisions. And then like the good things that happen to her are while she's passed out, knocked out in the woods, like the animals all like descend on her and then like decide she's too pretty to eat. When she's passed out in the Seven Dwarves bed, they like literally are about to pickaxe her to death because they're like, who is this giant in our bed? And then she rolls over and that is like the moment where they're just like, whoa, but it's while she's asleep. And then once she's in the coma, the prince comes by. They have like her in a glass coffin for some reason. And the prince like rolls by and sees her and kisses her passed out body, which brings her back to life.
Which brings her back to life.
Oh, it's full circle. I mean, I do think that now that you say it all like that, the glass box is just like she's at the museum. She's
yes.
only right. to be looked at, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is in a lot of ways, I think, especially for the time it was released way back when or whatever. The 40s, right? Or I don't know.
I think it was 30s, actually.
30s.
Wow.
But she, in a lot of ways, she represents like the quote unquote most ideal woman. Like she doesn't talk. All she does is cook and clean for you.
Right.
She's gorgeous.
And it's depiction of women besides Snow White, like the evil queen is like it's a butocracy where like the fairest, which is just like the prettiest woman, like rules with absolute power. And like must murder anyone who is hotter than her. That is like essentially the universe that it presents. So it like gives you the blueprint for like mean girl culture. It gives you the blueprint for like misogynistic, like better seen
kind
than
of,
heard.
It kind of drills down that really awful like belief that like women are competitive. I mean, it's true. It's very true. Like women are so competitive with each other and these kinds of narratives kind of enforce that, you know, like it's, oh, women just like, I don't know, they battle for each other, like for, I don't know, you know what I mean? That narrative is just like women hate women, which is not right. True, but some people do embody that. And I just think these narratives really don't help. They just kind of enforce it. But
I guess the best thing they did was put someone that wasn't just a like a fully Aryan goddess type person to play Snow White.
That's true. Like, especially gotta, in know. the 30s or 40s or whatever. That's true. You know, it wasn't some that would have been bad.
Oh, I mean, just now in this remake, like the best thing is Rachel Zegler is like casting Rachel Zegler to be Snow White.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like Colombian. And you're like already the takes are rolling in of like, it's Snow White.
She's not white.
Yeah. Okay, well.
What you gonna be, Snow Brown? Yeah, no, it's like,
Google, search that on Twitter. I'm sure I'm there's already positive that terrible takes that out take there. Yeah.
I just want to say that's so stupid, and white people can really do anything. That's all I want to say. They really let white people do everything. Jerry Seinfeld in a movie about fucking Pop-Tarts.
Right.
It's, but
yeah, let's get to that because his career continues to baffle me. And
me too.
It's not baffling in the sense that like his early stand-up was like very of the moment, and then Seinfeld the TV show. So just to tell people, the news hook is that Jerry Seinfeld is making a movie about the origin story of Pop-Tarts that he is like writing and directing.
My God,
it like started a bidding war and Netflix won, and it's so he says it's based on a stand-up bit. These movie outlets keep referring to this as like a famous stand-up bit he did, but it's like from his recent stand-up, which none of that is famous. It's all
good.
Very bad. It's all very, very bad.
Wait, what's the bit?
All right, you ready?
No.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I kind of need you to do it, Miles.
Oh, here we go. I was in the supermarket with my mother, and I was like, hold up, what the hell is that? Fruit-filled frosted rectangles, and the food is in the shape of the box. What is this? When you open the packet, there's two. Why? One's not enough. There's too many. That's why.
Three's too many.
Oh, three's too many. Well, I got too into it. I don't understand what this bit is exactly.
This bit is a satire of Seinfeld. That's the whole bit, is him just making observations about Pop-Tarts, but it's such
a movie,
so bad. Acting like it's weird that the that
it's
Pop-Tarts
the
are the shape of the box.
Okay, this is what my take. Like, so like
lots of food are
was,
rectangle full.
No, exactly. But before he was famous, like when Seinfeld was first starting out and like the show, his appeal, the thing that got him famous or like funny, is that he was just commenting on ordinary things. Like, I'm just one of you guys. Yeah. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then he got so ultra famous, his new stand-up is just bad because he can't relate to anyone anymore. And he reaches with stuff like this, being like, what do people eat? Pop-Tarts. Okay, I'm going to make a bit about Pop-Tarts. Like, what? Like,
yeah.
You've never had a Pop-Tart.
Had to take their Mercedes G-Wagon and make it bulletproof because protesters want to criticize your Zionism? What is this? You guys can relate? Wait, what? You have a fleet of Mercedes G-Wagons that are militarized? Come on, folks!
Is that true? I would totally believe that.
No, but that is the kind of disc. I mean, because he constantly says things out loud, and you're like, "What dimension are you in, fool? Like, and you don't you have fully jettisoned off the face of this planet."
Some people just shouldn't be famous. That's all.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's not funny anymore, but he takes that as like a political thing. Like, he's then been like, kids are too sensitive today because and he he has this bit
you're
that
not
I always
jazz,
refer
fool.
Back to. He went on like Leno and was like, I do this great bit where I like talk about how when we use our phone, we're like a gay French prince. And he like does like the scrolling thing.
What?
In a way that nobody's ever scrolled on their phone. And he's like, see, it's funny, even though the crowd is like kind of groaning.
Any comedian like, that starts with this is a great bit is that's right. Not a great bit.
He's like, I did it at college and they all groaned. Because they were offended.
Because you're not funny.
It's not funny, dude. It's bad. Nobody fucking nobody scrolls like that. It's not a true premise. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you had your time. You were funny while it lasted. Now you're reaching to try to be relevant, and it's working kind of because there was a bidding war for a Pop-Tarts movie you want to make based on a bad joke. Like, I just
It's just that generation of people in the business, though. You know what I mean? Like, they're all around the same age. And, like, to them, it's, like, an easy thing. It's like, it's Seinfeld, man. I'm like, whatever. Right. Let's try and bid on it. I don't have time to discover new talent.
I think a great inverse is Larry David, where, like, his show, Curb Your Enthusiasm or whatever, like, his whole bit is that he's just a grown, like groany, mad old man that's, like, inconvenienced all the time. And I think even now that he's rich and famous, he still kind of embodies that. There's no change as far as, like,
right.
his persona, because mm-hmm. the same bit carries, and he's still the same guy that wears, like, normal clothes that, yeah, I don't know, like, he doesn't carry his wealth on his body the same way, right. like, not physically, but, like, metaphorically. He doesn't carry his wealth, like, on the front of his hand versus, like, right. Jerry Seinfeld being yeah. like, I'm rich and everyone's mad at me. Like, I don't know.
Right. Everyone says I can't have grills and I'm appropriating. That's nonsense.
Yeah, I mean, look yeah. at what happened after Seinfeld. Larry David made, like, another comedy classic
mm-hmm.
and Much Jerry better, Seinfeld made, like, a bunch of really bad stand-up and Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, where he is the most off-putting, like, just being like, I would have thought you'd have a bigger house. Why isn't your house bigger? You're not rich. Like, you're not living like you're rich. You got to have a better car.
Right.
And then,
is that all that matters, dude?
Yes. Yeah. What's wrong with you? How do you keep the voices at bay that tell you you've sold out and you've completely stood for the wrong things at night? It's all consumer retail therapy.
I don't even understand what this film is about exactly.
It's wild because the true origin story of Pop-Tarts is that Post put out a, like, announcement that they were releasing these things that they called country squares.
Okay.
Because they were very bad at naming things.
Mm-hmm.
But they were basically Pop-Tarts. They renamed them to Toast'em Pop-Ups.
Cute.
And Kellogg's, but they announced that they were going to hit shelves in, like, 6 months. And Kellogg's was like, oh, you idiots. We're just going to steal that. So they stole it. They changed the name to Pop-Tart to be a play on Andy Warhol's pop art, which I hadn't even realized.
I did not know that.
Damn. Yeah. Okay.
And
somebody's
they had
cocaine in that room.
Right. Seriously. And they had, like, Bugs Bunny and shit on the box. And they just, like, completely destroyed this Post product. So I don't know how that is going to be a story. Like, you have to assume they're going to change it to make it, like, an underdog story or something like that. Mm-hmm. But then when you look at Jerry Seinfeld's last attempt to make a movie, and how completely just inexplicable that was, which is B-Movie. I'm kind of curious, maybe this will just be about, like, how corporate greed is good, because B-Movie was a 2007 film in which Seinfeld voices a bee who falls in love with a human who actually leaves her boyfriend for the bee. And
there you go.
Yeah.
Wait, you didn't read the craziest part after that. She helps the bee sue humanity for stealing honey.
For stealing their honey. Yeah.
What?
That's tight. That's yeah. tight.
It's...
Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself, bees. You could pull a lawyer if you
wanted again,
to.
Okay, again, life. This just reinforces, like, Jerry Seinfeld trying to go back to his heyday times and be relevant. Like, he's thinking of, wow, Bug's Life was a big hit. Let me make a new version of that with me voicing right. the bug. It's just like, right. no. Like,
and the story is this, is you can be literally insignificant to a human and still pull. I'm yeah. still pulling women.
Look at me.
Still
me. Yeah. yeah.
Look at me. Look what I can do as a bee.
Well, it's kind of a metaphor for his relationship with that high school student when you think about it. Mm. For people who don't remember, at the height of Seinfeld, like, the show being a huge hit, he dated a high school student.
Yeah, 17 yeah. years old. He's a bad person.
Is this, like, the, like, white response to the Flamin' Hot Cheetos thing? Because that's about, like, you know, a person of color who's, like, trying to invent something. And he's like, what's our version? Coked out marketing people stealing each other's ideas. Take that.
Yeah. It's like, I'm kind of imagining it like, what's it called? Who's the guy that made The West Wing again? Or Aaron Sorkin?
Aaron yeah. Sorkin,
I'm kind of imagining it like that now, where it's like, oh, they're walking into the office being like, we have to do this before they do. It's like these big speeches and stuff.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
how
yeah.
I'm... That would be entertaining. I'm not
what we're about
it
to do
way,
will
but...
define the way that children exactly. eat for the next 40 years, and you're in here talking about frosting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
God damn it, Charlie, look at the bigger picture here.
We have breakfast, like, oh, in God. Our grasp. We will control breakfast. I don't know. Just like that kind of stuff. But okay, can you read the can I read, or can someone just read
please.
The end of this page that's highlighted? I just can't. I've never seen, or even I didn't know the plot of B movie until today, and I can't get over this. Because okay, in B movie, any romance would end tragically because the character's B dick would be ripped out of his abdomen and he would die.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that that's like textually in the film.
That was just a bee expert saying bees die after ejaculation.
But right. I'm sure that's a joke in there. I'm almost positive they made that a joke.
You know my bee dick.
He's like, I'll die if I have sex. Yeah.
It'll be ripped out of my abdomen. We can't procreate. You kidding me?
And he still gets the girl. He still fucking gets the girl. And that is tragic.
Yeah.
I'm glad we talked about that. Sorry that I made you guys go a little over, but I just...
No, I'm glad we talked about it. No, I needed that. Yeah. I needed to hear Miles' Seinfeld impression.
I'm so impressed. I have never heard your Seinfeld.
It just happens sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah. I first did it when he just heard me get really like excited on a phone call, like trying to get a refund for like a cable bill. That's just like my flustered voice. He's like, that sounds like Seinfeld. I'm like, no,
oh my God.
Jack. I'm like, what are you talking about? I already paid 3 months and you're not going to give me my money back. I can't really keep it chill when I get
excited.
Wait,
so you weren't
like
even
that.
Aware. It, no. Like Jack nurtured this impression.
Yeah. He was making fun of me.
I have
me,
a bug
hung
in
up.
Miles's house. Yeah. So I'm always listening for material.
He texts me. He's like, so rough refund call, huh? I'm like, what are you doing? Get out of here.
That's so good.
My bee dick.
You could like you could make a voice memo of, or something of you saying something insane and
just
put it online. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a leaked writer's room meeting for the new Pop-Tart film.
Yes,
this guy's gotta fuck more. What do you mean? There's not one sex scene. You're fired.
There's a consultation with Andy Warhol, and right. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know,
the ghost of Andy.
Yeah. Shireen. It's been a pleasure, as always, having you on Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
Thanks, Jack. I also had fun this time, and hey. Miles. I'm kidding. It's fun every time.
Hey.
You can find me on Twitter at ShiroHero666, and on Instagram it's just ShiroHero. You can listen to me and Honest Podcast, Ethically Ambiguous, anywhere you get podcasts, and anything else, you can just Google me and find out.
Yeah, yep. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. Okay. This is just like defining my life. But okay. Emma Ketchum said, the key to looking amazing is looking like shit most of the time. So it's more of a surprise. So, that's how I live my life.
That's so true. Miles, where can people find you and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter or Instagram at Miles of Gray. You know, the other show, 420 Day Fiance. We were talking 90 Day Fiance. Check that one out. Some tweets that I like. Let me see how many I got in the old thing here. Yeah, I got a couple. Yeah, this is good. This is one from Doug Exeter at Doug_Exeter. It says, parenthetical, sees a guy with visible spaghetti vomit on his sweater. Wow, on the surface, he looks calm and ready.
I love that.
Another one is from Sean Clements, at Sean Clements. Wife pointed out a yard with a bunch of crows in it on our walk today. I called it the crow zone layer. Got absolutely nothing. Not phased, and it's not why I do it. I do it for me. Which reminds me of me and Her Majesty would just roll her eyes into the back of her head. Also, shout out to Her Majesty. It's her birthday today. You know, love to you, Ma. You know,
oh, wow.
we're keeping it thorough. Yeah. And also, Molly Lambert, at Molly Lambert. This is more of a local thing, and I laughed because I'm from the Valley, as is Molly. Apparently, David Byrne from the Talking Heads just bought a house in Toluca Lake, which is where, like, Bob Hope used to live in the San Fernando Valley. And Molly Lambert tweeted, psycho killer, Toluca Lake.
That's so good.
I just love that rhyme.
I saw that one, too. I was like, that's a banger.
Pa, 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 pa.
Qu'est-ce que c'est? Isn't that in Die Hard?
Isn't it?
There's an 80s movie where someone goes, come on, qu'est-ce que c'est? I forget what film that is. It's like an 80s guy speaking French.
That's so funny.
Probably not. Don't worry about me.
I don't think.
But Die I'm Hard. Cultured.
No, yet, it's not. But... It's not Die Hard. I only if it did, you would have said it immediately, and that's how I know it's not Die Hard. If any listeners, if you know what I'm talking about, hit me up with that. What's that from? Where the white guy says, "Qu'est-ce que c'est?"
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Lucy Huber came up with a good idea. She said a workout class called Wedding Dancing. Everyone gets one glass of white wine upon entering. You dance to Build Me Up Buttercup and shout and stuff in heels for the first 30 minutes. Then you get to take them off, get a shot, and dance to 2000s rap for the rest of the class. I think that's a good idea. I would go to that class. And then DEFCON 1 Bangs tweeted, normalize me spending $400 whenever something upset.
Yes, I like that one.
Yes.
Wait, there's one more I just remembered. Someone named Commie Activity. They put a picture of a headline from CNN, and it says, California's historic drought is causing drinking water to taste like dirt. Just add lemon, officials say. And her text was just, oh, okay. Yeah. I don't know. That was just,
oh, great. Just like that. Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what is your recommendation for today?
Okay, we are going to go out on a track by Mereba, M-E-R-E-B-A. It's called Gold. It just has really dope, just laid back feelings. You know, it's a good one for the weekend. You know, just to, you know, if you're going to maybe look at the moonlight with a friend, do a puzzle, keep it less talky, more vibey. This
you're
is a track for you.
My so. Perfect evening.
Exactly. So check out Gold by Mereba.
All right. Well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa. The new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise. The sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA. And I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.